All right. Now we'll ask Brother Mike Lane to come up here and bring us a message from God's Word today. Happy to have you, sir.
Dr. Wetzel.
Such a joy to be with you finally, and well, we appreciate your patience with us, and promise if the Lord tarries his coming and we're still able, we'll be back before another 15 years. Amen. No, the Lord is sort of providing some way stations along. Previously, our closest church was Las Cruces, New Mexico, and we saw them again on our way out here from Texas. But we have friends that used to be in our church in Tacoma, now in Prescott, close to Phoenix, and I have a cousin there now, and we got to meet her husband for the first time. He just retired from professional baseball. He was Russ Ortiz, or is, and played for various teams, Arizona, the Braves, San Francisco, and Houston, I think, for a year. But he's just retired, and they're part of our ministry and also doing a lot of different things. And it's just good to meet them, and we praise the Lord for them utilizing their abilities to help get the gospel around the world. And tonight, we're going to be with some more friends. Brother Tate was on staff with me when I pastored in Tacoma. And he helped work in our Christian school. And now he's down in, I can't say that, it's out of Bakersfield, between Mojave and that. It starts with a T, Tchaapia T or something like that. Yeah. And I have to be looking at it to be able to pronounce that. So we're going to get to spend the night or two with them. And their son, we took down to with us to Honduras when we first visited in 93, along with our daughter. And their son and our daughter taught in Christian schools for a year down there, wanted to dedicate a year of their life to foreign service before they went on to Bible college. And the Lord called their son while he was down there, and so Jason Tate serves with us. He got back 10 years later in 2003 with a family and Bible education and one daughter and all that, and has been faithfully, he's a good missionary down there serving with us in another city. Praise the Lord for that. And then Wednesday night, we get to be in Las Vegas. No, we're not going to try to double our love offering. That never works out, does it? No, just kidding. But outside of that, in that area, there is a good-sized church, Brother Tice, Liberty Baptist Church, and a young man who interned with us for 9 months down in Honduras and became much more adept with his Spanish and working and preaching and so forth. Just learned a lot. Was a great blessing to us, and he really grew during that time. Came back, married the sweetheart, and as she graduated from Bible college, and they went to work for this church in Las Vegas and have been successfully working in the Spanish ministry there ever since. So we're going to get to see him and be in his church and stay in his home. He said, I want to return the favor. I stayed 9 months with you, and we want you guys to stay with us. And so what a blessing to be able to reconnect with old friends that we've served alongside of for so many years, and those that also that we've been able to be a blessing to in recent years. And then we'll continue our way up to Oregon and in some churches in Washington, and then in Vancouver, B.C. When I had cancer in 2008, went to a clinic down on the border of Texas and Mexico, Del Rio, and met a Canadian couple. They were retired. The interesting thing was that for many years, when I was in Tacoma, 2 miles from the freeway, up and down that freeway, I-5, this man, as a truck driver, plied his trade, and we never knew a thing about one another. Here, these many years later, many thousands of miles further away, we come in contact. The Lord brought us, had a meeting in store, and we were able to lead both he and his wife to the Lord. They both accepted Christ, and later on, I was able to baptize them in the Victory Baptist Church where we were attending and preaching while we were down there. The Lord was so good to us during his time. Also got to go into the prisons, and I couldn't be in Honduras, but God brought the Hondurans to me. And there were even some Hondurans in the prison down there, and most of these were illegals that had been caught, and were serving some time, and from many different Latin countries. And about 15 of those also received the Lord during that time. So God was so merciful to us that even though we were stuck in a place tending to a medical problem, he was so good to us to allow us to continue to minister. He knew that it would probably drive me crazy and if I couldn't be doing something for the Lord. And was able to preach nearly every Sunday also in the Victory Baptist Church. So God has a plan, doesn't he? And after leaving there, we found a good church up in Vancouver area. They were able to get into it. He has recently gone on to be with the Lord. Once again, we're just so pleased to be able to say he's with the Lord. Absent from the body, she's continuing to serve in that church up there in the Vancouver, B.C. area. And we'll get to be in their church also and preach and present the ministry. So God is just so good. You know, when you leave the way to him, he always chooses the best way, doesn't he? And what seems like detours to us are really his first choice in his avenue. And we've just come to just trust in that and to not lean on our own understanding, but to just trust in the Lord. And I tell you, he always directs our paths. And I have more confidence in that than I have ever had in all my life. And what a blessing it is. Okay, I see I don't have much time, so we better quit talking and get to preaching. So if you would, turn with us to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'd like to leave something with you that I trust will be a blessing to you, that has just really been that which has motivated me, that God has put in my heart from early on in my Christian faith, even as a teenager. The Lord put within me a desire to be a missionary, to go where there was less of the gospel light, and to share that with those that that need the Lord, as was so beautifully sung this morning. Thank you for that. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. This is his second letter to them. He had a lot of things to cover. One of the things that he finally gets to is defense of his the authority of his ministry. The fact that all that he did, the places he went, that wasn't of his own choosing. That was in direct direction by the will of the Lord in his life. Remember earlier on that Paul had begun his ministry, his second missionary journey, being sent out from Antioch of Syria, great missionary church, and he had gone over to Asia Minor, and he had a desire to go north to Bithynia and to preach the gospel there. And the Bible says that he was forbade. The Lord wouldn't let him, being in step with God and sensitive to his spirit as we should be. Again, if we lean not to our own understanding, don't impose our will on God, then he will show us exactly the right way and the right timing. Amen? And then he said, okay, well, we're going to head over to the populous western part of Asia Minor, where Turkey is today, and where resided the seven churches of Asia Minor, to whom were written the letters in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. But again, God stopped him. And so, you know, he couldn't go north, he couldn't go west to this area. He just, okay, Lord, what do you want? And that's the place God wants us to be, where we're just stopped, where we're not imposing our will on his will. And we just say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to hear? What is it you want me to learn from this situation? And then that's, of course, when he received that vision in Troas, and the man appeared in a vision from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And that's a cry that we all need to be hearing today. Because as was sung, all around us there are people that need the Lord. I believe, did you know Dr. Insminger? I never was privileged to know him. A co-founder of the Bible Institute Seminary Bible College that your pastor and I both went to. I went in 1970 and he was there in 50. Wow, I hadn't even come along at that time. My wife was nearly here, but I still lacked a couple of years.
No much for you.
Just by 9 months, I mean, it's not much different. And you know, at our age, it really doesn't make any difference at all at this point, does it? Anyway, back to preaching. Dr. Insminger, I've heard often that he would say it's a broken-hearted world, but who among us has a broken heart? And you know, all around us are broken people, broken lives, broken marriages, broken people. And you know, the only answer, the longer I've lived, the more I've heard, and still, I believe that Jesus is the answer. He's the only answer for the world's problems. And you know, as we look at the greater and greater mess that we're getting ourselves into in this world, and you realize there is no hope but Jesus Christ. There are some powerful people out there that are steering things and trying to manipulate. Their goal is to save the world. And they believe this is their mission. And to do that, they're going to be doing some very ungodly things in the future. That's still to come. But all of that is leading up to a world government. And they just believe that if they can put the right people in control and control all the rest of us little peons here and take away our gas-guzzling cars, you know, and while they jet across the world in their jets, you know, they've got that right. They need to do that. But they're going to save our world for us. And that's all we know prophetically going to lead up to. Well, your pastor's in Daniel. Daniel and Revelation go hand in hand. And it's talking about those end times that are still to come. We know what tomorrow's headlines are going to read. And we know how it's all going to wind up. And it's not man who saves the world. In fact, it'll be God that destroys the world and remakes it. Amen? After His own plan and purpose. But we realize that the only hope for the world, the only hope for each individual in this world is Jesus Christ. Paul knew that. And he knew that the gospel is the story of salvation that comes, that is centered upon, that is all about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about His life and the purpose in His death and His burial and, praise God, His resurrection. By that resurrection, Romans 1, verse 4, I believe it is, says that He has proven that He is the Son of God. That was the final stamp of God's approval upon the ministry and the work and that which was accomplished at Calvary when He shed His own life's blood to pay the debt of sin that the world, the whole world has. And it was God's final stamp of approval. As He rose the body of Jesus from, raised the body of Jesus from the dead and proved that He was the Son of God. And that's still what we preach. It's so wonderful. Down here in the corner of Southern California, we just praise God that the gospel is being preached. We can go up as far as Canada, and one day, the next time I go to Alaska, I'll probably preach in a church in Barrow, which is the northern most point of American towns or outposts. And the gospel is being preached there. You can go to the tip of the Keys in Florida and the gospel is being preached. You can go to the Northeast and there are gospel preaching churches. And then thank God that it's not stayed here, but it is literally gone around the world. We need to keep going with the message until we have gone to all the world and preached the gospel to every creature. Every person deserves the gospel. Amen? And I believe it was J. Harold Smith that says, why should anyone hear it twice before everyone has heard it once? And, you know, there is a truth to that. I'm glad that we heard it more than once, but we must not lose sight of the fact that the world, that everyone, by all the means available to us today, and that includes all the technology that we ought to be utilizing, needs to hear the gospel at least once. Paul, writing to this church, defending his ministry, tells them, I came to you, not of my own will. It wasn't outside of the ministry, the measure that God had given me. But I came to you by the will of God. Verse 12, he says, we dare not make ourselves of number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. They, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Paul said, we don't need to fall into the trap. We must not fall into the trap of comparing ourselves, our ministries, with other people. It will always be a disappointment, or it will just feed your ego, one or the other. And either one is not a good thing. And so, just compare yourself with what God's will is for your life. You need to think about that. The potential that you have, you'll not be measured. My ministry against Brother Wessels, or us against someone who may be running thousands in their church. Our measure, our reward will not be based upon how we did in comparison with someone else, or someone else compared to us. It will be upon, did we fulfill the will of God for our lives and our ministry. Everyone has been given different gifts and different quantities, even as the Lord in His parable of the talents. He gave more to some, but He expected each one to take it and use it. And there are some that, like the one who had only one, he said, well, what can I do with this? Compared to my friends, they have 5 and 10 times more than I. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just doing nothing. I'm going to hide it in the dirt. And that was the only one that was condemned of all of them. Some brought back more than others, but it was in measure to what they had been given and how they had invested that. No one should ever say that I can do nothing, because everyone can do something. Amen. And what we can do, we should do. Amen? And so Paul says in verse 13, we're in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, we will not boast of the things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us. God has distributed a measure, a ministry to us. He talks about the ministry of reconciliation in chapter 5. And he talks about the fact that we are ambassadors for Christ. Jesus couldn't be here today physically, so he sent Pastor. And he sent Mike Lane. Now, we're not being audacious in saying that we're here in place of Christ. We're literally speaking truth. In Christ's stead, we are here to beseech you, to plead with you, to be reconciled to Christ. Amen. That's the beauty of the plan of God. Jesus ascended after His resurrection, and He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And He came, and He indwells every believer today. And He empowers every preacher of the gospel. Now, whether that be here in Chula Vista, whether that be our workers in Honduras, whether it be in Africa where we have preached and we have seen hundreds and even thousands saved there, being able to be a part of that and seeing that the gospel is being preached, wherever it might be, the Lord Jesus is there being represented by an ambassador. Amen. What a privilege. And we need to understand that it is our privilege and responsibility to be continuing to share that gospel. It came to us, he said, distributed to us. Verse 14. But we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far. Now I want you to note this, please. As far as to you. Also in preaching the gospel of Christ. It was distributed to us. It was our measure. It was our responsibility to come as far as to you in preaching the gospel of Christ. I want you to note that phrase, to you. How many of you are glad today? And you can acknowledge it by an uplifted hand and an amen. How many of you has the gospel come to you and you have heard it and received it? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. The majority of you can cast that vote in favor of Christ and rejoice in the grace of God that the gospel has come to you. Now look at further on in verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Three phrases I want to leave with you is number one, the gospel has come to you. The gospel has come to Chula Vista. And if it's come to you, we must understand that it need not, it must not. God does not want it to stay with us, but to go beyond you. Verse 16. If it's come to you, it needs to go beyond you.
Amen.
How will that be accomplished? Back up in verse 15. He says, by you. To you, needs to go beyond us. How? By us. Amen? How will that be accomplished? When your faith is increased, our ministry, Paul is saying, we'll be enlarged. We'll be able to do more. We'll be able to go more places and do more. How? By you. By you. When, there's a contingency, when your faith is increased. Do you think we need to grow our faith? Do you think it would please God? Do you realize that it's impossible to please God without faith? Amen? Hebrews 11, verse 6. And so, God always wants us to grow. We need faith down here. Without faith, faith is our victory. Without faith, we cannot possibly, no matter what we do, we cannot please God. There'll come a time when Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about the greatness of love, and without love you're just absolutely a zero. Nothing you do is important and makes an impact without love. Now he says these great things abide. There is faith and there is hope and there is love. And these are things we all need right now. And one day when we're in heaven with the Lord, there will only be one thing left. That'll be love. You don't need hope when it's been realized. You don't need faith when it's before your eyes. But right now, today, we need hope. And we need faith. And the greatest hope comes from the realization of our eternal life in Jesus Christ. And you don't get that unless someone has come to you in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now freely you've received, freely give. What did you pay for your salvation, sir? What was that price? You didn't pay anything, did you? It cost a great price. It cost the life of the Son of God. His blood, life's blood was shed for us, but it didn't cost you or I anything. Freely you receive, freely give. And so we need to have the vision. We need to see beyond us, and we need to let our hearts be moved for those people that need the Lord in the regions beyond you. There are some of us that need to go. When I love Texas. I'm a Texan. You can tell that. Talking to a doctor this morning at the hotel, he says, "He said, where are you from?" I said, "Well, I live in Honduras. I pastored in Tacoma 14 years. I'm originally from Texas." He says, "You still sound like it." I'm sorry. My wife's even worse, you know, I think. But, I'm a Texan. What can I say? I can't hide that fact. But I couldn't stay in Texas. After I had gone through about 6 years of ministry working with pastor, and I knew it was time for me to go and to preach. And I just said, "Lord, where?" I already had a desire for the foreign mission field, but at the same time, I didn't feel a liberty to go. The Lord directed us to another mission field, which was the Northwest, where over 95% of people didn't go to church anywhere. And it was a mission field, and it was a great preparation for the foreign mission field, because we felt like foreigners up there in the Northwest for a long time. But the Lord was good, and I don't know, there's something in us, and it would be a sin for me to stay, and even though I'm involved in the Lord's work and preaching and teaching and all of that, if the Lord wants you somewhere else, then you oughtn't to be where you are. Amen? And there are still so many regions beyond us, and I thank God that today people are still answering the call to missions. I thank the Lord for those retirement age people that have been a blessing to us in Honduras. Brother Rich came and stayed. He was going to stay, 1-2 years? And he stayed actually an extra year. They loved it there. And he came and was just a helps missionary and helps in so many areas. I think of Brother Dwayne that still serves. He's retirement age. But he's a missionary there. He doesn't preach that well in Spanish, but he again facilitates. He's contacted, made the arrangement for the church that's going to come down next year and help us to build a church. And there are so many things. It needs to go beyond you. It will by you when our faith has increased. Amen. And so I trust today that, number one, you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel has come to you. If not before, I don't know any of you before this morning. And so I don't know whether you truly have accepted Christ or not, but you need to. The gospel, and there's you're without excuse this morning because the gospel has come to you. Amen? Amen. And if you've accepted, then make sure it goes beyond you just as far as God will let you carry it. Amen. Preacher. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Lane. Let's stand together, please. I'm going to have a prayer, and then we're going to have a verse of invitation, because today somebody's heart might have been touched and challenged to be a missionary. God calls people to the mission field. God calls people to preach and to serve Him. And maybe you don't know exactly this morning where God would have you to serve. You surrender to serve, and then God will direct you to the place where He wants you to serve, just like He did the Lanes. They found out where God wanted them. In God's time, He moved them to that particular mission field. So today, the first thing that you have to do is make that surrender to the Lord, and be willing to do what God wants you to do, and to go where God wants you to go, if indeed He wants you to go. And make yourself available to God. Seek His will. Maybe you're unsaved this morning. You do not know the Lord. You've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save your soul. Today would be a good opportunity for you to do that. What's our number, Brother Buddy?
484.
Number 484. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray now that You'll use this song and this invitation, these few moments that we have here. Someone's heart today has been touched by the message that's been brought. And we pray, Father, that they will surrender to Your will, that we may place ourselves at Your disposal. May we kneel at Your feet to be commissioned to go wherever You would have us to go. In Jesus' name, amen.
484.
Respond to the Lord. thank you. We appreciate your being here today. Hope that you got a blessing out of that message as I did. God spoke to my heart. I'm sure that he did to yours.